You're listening to
Fuck It Right in the Pussy.
The Hot Pod.
This is the Small and Savage Will Moore, and you're listening to The Hot Pod.
Hello, children. This is Johnny Draven, and you should be checking out my best friend's podcast every week. What is it about, you say? Greatness that happens at shows, stories, how he got his feelings hurt, who he hurt, and maybe more. But check it out. It's called The Morning After on thehotpod.com. Thank you, children. And while you're checking things out, Johnny Draven, TCB, on Twitter.
Hashtag Rider Free 2015.
Matt Holliday here. Do me a quick favor if you haven't already. Go over to Facebook and like us at facebook.com/thehotpod and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at thehotpod. It's that easy.
How couldn't we not go there?
This is true. Everybody's talking about it.
So why not us? Everybody's talking about it.
And they're in the club getting tipsy.
They are. All right. It's that time. I'm going to open the window and jump out it. And then flap my way back to the seat.
Hashtag Fappage.
Something like that. I'll be right back.
He does this so gracefully, yet so grandfully.
I got this dragon, I tell you. I've just flapped my way into the Icon Studio. And for those of you that do not know, I am Max. No, I'm not your baby's daddy.
But he could be.
Holiday. And as you can hear, I am not alone. As always. Each and every week, I am joined by this man. Who's actually did that whole slow takeoff thing. That was kind of weird. The ground started rumbling. And, whoa!
High five!
And back.
MaxiPad. There's a super banana coming through. I'm sorry, I had to take your cookie. Make way. Would not want to hit you with a super banana. Have to watch the peel. Everybody will have to watch the peel. The peel that you do not want to steal, but you might want to feel.
Holla, oh my god, I'm sorry. I slipped on the peel.
The peel that you don't want to steal, but you might want to feel. Holla at your boy, Super Santana, the Eat Big Banana Stacks, and I'm Hither, bitches. Hither. The Hot Pod. Episode 40. Hulk Hogan. A real Confederate. Hold on, one more lap. Settle down here. All right. Episode 40. Epic. Epic.
Episode 40. Sorry. Sorry about that. My phone started ringing.
That's okay.
It's okay. No, you know, things are on high alert around here. I have a grandfather who took a turn for the worse today, so I had to answer that when I couldn't ignore it. Sorry, my apologies.
Okay, Google.
Okay. Google. So,
you're not Google all of a sudden?
No, I didn't change my name. I didn't. Sorry.
Interesting.
We do have a lot in store for you tonight. I would say kayfabe news, but we didn't do it last week, and I forgot to bring it up because I was so busy looking at Hogan stuff.
Yeah, I think you know. Hogan should definitely. Wasn't there already a kayfabe news on Hogan?
I think there was. I'll look it up real quick.
Like a really good one.
There was. I think it's hilarious, though, that all of this Hogan stuff is based off the National Enquirer.
Is that still around?
Yeah, it is. Their website is the website that published the transcript, I guess, from the sex tape.
Man, the National Enquirer, I mean, I remember that from, like, way back when they used to have them on the newsstands, and it was always some crazy shit, like, you know, Britney Spears grows third nipple or something, you know, it was just some crazy shit.
Yeah.
The National Enquirer, where you find all your alien facts.
There's a lot on, on Hogan, really. The kayfabe news really ran away with this one. It comes crashing down, hurts inside. Mr. America returns to WWE. McMahon in trouble for alleged slurs against, I don't know, that one keeps going. And what looks to be a really good one is Hogan's comments, deeply hurtful, says Akeem. That looks like that. Maybe we'll hit one of those up a little later on in the program.
Team.
Yeah, I think the, you know, the title of tonight's show, Real Confederate, got me thinking about Hogan's music. And I think if he's going to be the real Confederate, he should adapt the Confederate song. We're gonna have to jazz it up, obviously, but this is the base for the new Hogan look gimmick. Hulk Hogan, the real Confederate.
There are many brave men in this southern land who have hurried away to the field, who have sworn to defend us or die in the cause. There are independence they'll yield.
I like it.
I am a real Confederate.
A real American.
Gotta get it going.
So, yeah, you know, I heard that interview where he was talking about how, you know, Birdman and all them, what they were calling him. You know, but is that the interview? I mean, is that what everybody's tripping about? Because I don't find it offensive.
This was the first, when I heard about this, that I pulled up.
I didn't want to go there.
And I didn't find it offensive.
For years, any black guy ever said, you my nigga? Like, you my nigga, Hulk?
Well, Booker T used to do that to me on TV.
Yeah.
You know, and every time I pull up YouTube, there's that famous thing that Booker T, when his brother was there, and they're all talking trash. Booker T goes, "I'm coming for you, Hogan, you nigger." And not nigger, he goes, "Nigger." I mean, it's like, and it's still so cool because the whole time I was down in Miami, you know, when I lived there, everybody, you know, like I walk in the booth and all of a sudden I bump into this guy in the games in the booth. It's all black and he's got his BlackBerry. And I bump into him and he goes, "What's up, nigga?" And I said, "Oh, dude, excuse me, bro." You know, he goes, "No, it's all cool." You know, and everybody down there, Lil Wayne, Birdman, everybody, you know, they're all, you know, calling me nigga. And I'm like, and then I started saying it, you know, and I always said it but now all of a sudden I get heat when I say it and they say, "Oh, you can't say that." I said, "Well, why can they say it to me then?" It's like, you know, but brother was cool because, dude, you know, back in the day during my career, I used to party real hard. I couldn't remember anybody's name.
So the brother was
brother.
Brother was the easiest way to That's like the neutrality word right there. Hey, brother.
Yeah, they
you know what? That's a good idea.
Yeah,
because I'm always like, hey.
Yeah,
shit.
No, they'd introduce me like to, you know, Dick Ebersol or somebody like that, or somebody that, you know, like Les Moonves that runs CBS, and within 10 seconds. Somebody walk in, I get ready to say, "Hey, brother, you know, this is so-and-so." And I was like, you know, I couldn't remember. So that's where it came from.
So when you were partying, what was your...
Enough of him. That was what I originally heard. Supposedly, that's not it.
No. Supposedly, that's what I originally heard. And supposedly, that's not it. I guess there's something else out there where he's pretty vulgar and pretty... hardcore.
Do you remember the sex tape that was going around of Hulk Hogan that Bubba the Love Sponge released? Hogan,
I've never seen it.
Okay, I saw something that was supposedly the sex tape, but that's not the point. The point is Hogan is suing Gawker, the website that released the sex tape. So because of the lawsuit, everything is being transcribed. Even the sex tape. And that is where this has been pulled from. I guess there's conversation during this tape of Hogan and whomever. And during this conversation that, mind you, is being privately recorded and Hogan is not aware of it, starts to have a very relaxed conversation with whomever. And it goes from there where he talks about Brooke and a few other things.
Oh, Brooke.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. The actual article has quoted Hogan as saying, "I guess we're all a little racist." Referring to his blonde bombshell Brooke, 27, "She's making some real bad decisions now," Hulk said. "My daughter Brooke jumped sides on me. I spent $2 to $3 million on her music career, and I've done everything like a jackass for her. The one option Brooke had, Brooke's career besides me, is to sell Beach Records. Hogan knows best." Star, let's see, bemoaned now or how a black billionaire guy had offered to fund her music career. So I'm assuming this is where he's going. "I don't know if Brooke was fucking the black guy's son. I mean, I don't have double standards. I mean, I'm a racist to a point. Fucking
really, nigga."
Yeah. anyways, but then when it comes when it comes to nice people and shit, you know, whatever. And then in the tirade of race and embarrassments, let's see, it goes on to say, "I mean, I'd rather if she was going to fuck some
nigga
that I'd rather have her marry an 8 foot tall."
Good.
"Worth $100 million, like, you know, a basketball player. I guess we're all a little racist, fucking."
So he'd rather have Shaq banging his daughter.
Pretty much.
Really, nigga?
Yeah.
Nigga.
Yeah. That didn't work out. yeah, so he would much rather her be banging a basketball player and getting paid to do it, I guess.
And just getting completely damaged.
What is that supposed to mean?
Those gigantic basketball players. That's what he's looking for. Someone to stick their gigantic basketball playing ass into his daughter, Brooke. That's crazy, Hogan. What's wrong with you? That's like saying, yeah, go to the jungle. Give me the biggest fucking jambalaya cock in the jungle and give it to my daughter. As long as you're paying.
Right?
You out here talking about a click. The only click you need to know about is the Harlem Heat and Sister Sherry. See, because what you're dealing with here is the brotherhood. It's nonstop from this point on in WCW. We take what we want. And after we take Lex Luger and the Giant, we want the gold, sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
I should point out for the record, Steve Ray, look at this. Take a look. We're talking about the rack, the torture rack of Lex Luger.
Awesome.
That's the Booker T rant that he was talking about in the in the one interview he did.
Now the funny thing is, I don't know. Like I said, I have to hear this other thing where Hogan was, you know, saying all this other stuff or whatever. I mean, I know you read it or whatever, but I know there's more to it. And, you know, because, I mean, you know, Vince McMahon did a skit where he walked by and he called John Cena, you know, Ninja.
Go, Ninja. Go, Ninja. Go.
Pull that clip up.
All right.
What's up, boss?
How you doing?
Yeah. What's good in the hood?
Hold it down, try to take care of business.
Keep it up, I'm a nigga.
Tell me he didn't just say that.
Oh, that's awesome. There's another one. This is another one. Holy shit.
Gets even worse.
Oh, my God. I can't believe someone tried to argue the fact that even though this was done on TV, it was characters doing it. And it's no different. Would you agree with that? Would that be the same as seeing a white guy say that in a movie?
Hey, Book, are you ready?
I'm ready?
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, good, man.
Yeah.
Booker T, the number one contender facing the WWF champion at the Royal Rumble.
You know, tonight, I'm going to go out here and become the number one contender. But who am I facing tonight? The Rock. Who did I go? The Rock. Who did I go?
Hey, buddy, didn't you hear the man? He said The Rock.
Who did I go?
I have no clue what that was.
What the hell?
I don't know. No clue. My question, and I think it's funny, though, that Dennis Rodman...
That was really funny, actually. Who'd I go?
No. I think it was funny that Dennis Rodman actually has come to the rescue for Hulk Hogan. Did you see that tweet?
The tweet?
Yeah, the Dennis Rodman tweets. For
no.
Oh, let me pull them up. Oh. It's great. He talks about... pretty much he talks about how I've known Hulk Hogan for 25 years and he's not a racist, you know. Let's see, here we go. Where is it? I've known Hogan for 25 years. Come on, stop moving. Stupid computer. Everything's jumping all over the screen while it's loading. Okay.
That's what she said.
Yeah. There isn't a racist bone in the man's body. Let's lend our support to the Hulkster. Hulk Hogan, who most certainly is not a racist, as he tweeted to Scottie Pippen, Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal, and Mike Tyson. My heart truly hurts for Hulk Hogan. Foley tweeted, I firmly believe he's a very good person who made a very bad mistake pulling for you, brother. Virgil, don't be taking Hulk Hogan words out of text. That man has done more for me than almost anybody, man.
Man.
It's funny. The WWE statement, though. WWE is committed to embracing and celebrating individuals from all backgrounds, and as demonstrated by the diversity of our employees, performers, and fans worldwide. However, Brooke took and wrote a poem about her dad on Facebook. I don't know if you want me to read it, but I don't think I'm going to. But if you knew the dad I knew, you'd know his tender heart. He'd never want to hurt his fans or family from the start. Boom. There's more.
She's a poet. I didn't know it.
There's more to it, but I'm not even going to address it.
You know what's funny is like, you know, this whole you know, racism thing totally shadows out the fact that Hogan was oiling up Brooke's ass on the beach while she had her ass thonged up. Now who does that to their daughter? Like, hey sister, you need some oil on your ass.
Hey sister, I don't think, you know, I honestly don't think that he was looking at it in that manner. Is his kid, and he was oiling her up, and I think people took the oiling out of context, quite possibly. So, I mean,
I don't know. If I'm oiling my daughter up, I think my hands stop before they get to her ass.
Who's your daddy?
Well, let's take a break on Hogan here. And how was your weekend?
Oh, it was epic. Friday night fights at the House of Anarchy.
I missed it. How was it?
Oh, man, it was epic, man. It was epic. Oh, we got the air conditioning going.
Oh, what? Air conditioning
yeah.
It now?
It was flowing like you would not know. It was the shit. It was nice and cool in that, son of a bitch. We had a packed house, standing room only. We had some crazy-ass matches. Everybody tore each other apart. We've seen some new faces. We got to see B-Rad Kevins defend his cruiserweight title.
Awesome.
We got to see Jack's Misfit Manners take on Weston Reed in one of the most hardcore matches ever. And, you know, they had thumbtacks. They had everything. It was crazy.
Wow.
It was a crazy, crazy, epic night at the House of Anarchy. And if you haven't came down and seen these shows, I mean, what the hell are you waiting for? Our last show of July, this Friday, come check it out. Be there.
What have you been waiting for? Jesus, and check out the website. The website is awesome.
Yeah, the website's on point, man. That guy, I got to give him big props. I'll give him some big props on the radio here. Kurt Collins. You, sir, are the man. He's killing it out there, baby, ladies and gentlemen. He's killing it out there. He's making some awesome graphics. He's doing great for the website. And Anarchy is definitely a plus with him.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm looking at it right this second. It's amazing. It's amazing. Mason family, I haven't heard much from them. What's the deal?
They made a surprise into the surprise stop into the house show, and you had to have been there to see it, so make sure you come down. I'm sure they'll be making another stop this Friday, and might have something up their sleeve. I know they've got something up their sleeve for the 15th. They've already announced the ambulance match.
Right.
Mr. Mason threw the stipulation of, you know, somebody's going to leave in an ambulance. It's no other way around it.
That's when Buddy Roberts Jr. defends the Anarchy Pro heavyweight title against one Mojo McQueen.
Mojo.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, good times, good times. So that was, yeah, that was Friday.
Uh-huh.
Saturday, I actually had time to relax, and I went and took in some crash-tested wrestling.
Oh, how was that?
I got to say, you want my overall review really quick?
No, save that
in
for
a nutshell. Okay. No, okay. We'll save that. Well, yeah, I took in some crash test of wrestling because I had the day off. Okay, and then after that, Sunday I had a picnic. I went to an awesome little Anarchy Pro type of picnic and did some karaoke. Got drunk. It was good times. Ate some food.
Awesome.
How was your weekend?
Man, I had a great extended weekend. My weekend began Thursday as I went to Missouri and did my whole family reunion thing. I had a blast there. Drove back into town Saturday. Went to Crash Tested Wrestling. And ended up wrestling in a tag team match that I'm sure we'll hear about in the review. And then I'll talk about it a little bit about it. And then on Sunday I just relaxed because I was all go from Thursday till Saturday night. Thursday it took us for whatever reason it took a 4.5 hour trip turned into an 8 hour trip. Going to Missouri, that was ridiculous. But from the moment I left Thursday till the moment I got back Saturday, till I laid my head down on my bed. Saturday night, it was just go, 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 go. So I was exhausted. So Sunday, I just took the day to myself, and everything caught up with me, and now I have, the sinus infection going, and I can't breathe. It's ridiculous. I have all the complaints in the world. But my weekend was great. I had a good time, and probably wouldn't have traded it for very much. That's for sure.
Well, it sounded like an epic weekend. Epically long.
It was epically long, absolutely. And I had a great time. That's all there is to it. But it is that good time. It is that time where we take a little brisee. You wanna hit it first this time, and then, or you want me to?
That's what she said.
Ew.
No, you go for it.
All right, I'm going to do a little throwback here. Go with a little Loose Screws.
Ooh.
After this, when we come back, we'll see what the world holds for us. But we'll be back after these interludes.
Yeah.
Fill the car up, let's fill the bar up. I see you starstruck, down for the foursome. I know you will, for a fortune. Stop being nosy, girl, I know you wanna snort some. Home, let this be your excuse. Wake up in the morning, no trace, no clues. Home, let this be your excuse. Wake up in the morning and blame it on Loose Screws.
Bye. her. Can you blame her? She gave me that brain. Well, that's a no-brainer. She wants that train and my personal trainer. Girl, it's Tanner, man. She's like, what? My mojo so dead. We kick it, I hit it, and this is she tripping and filling me up for some math. We ain't seeing clear, but we're drinking clear. Got a big ass bottle of Belvedere, a fifth of Jack, and a pack of beer. We're jam packed in a Cavalier. I'm so out of here. You feel it, I feel it. We're tripping the ceiling. I need me a floaty. We're about to go swimming. She's grabbing my willy. I know that she's willing.
Christopher St. Michael, and you're listening to HPN247.com.
Ah, yes, it is the Lunatic Wrestling Federation's very own Supreme Aryan, and you're listening to The Hop-On.
Catch a boy.
right after hours. Then the moon is aglow. She's my moonflower. That old radio is playing my hit. Oh, you know what it's called, baby.
To the Hot Pod.
What does the fox say? Ooh,
Satan! And we are back.
Word.
Yeah. So the topic of tonight has been Hulk Hogan, a real Confederate?
A real gangsta.
Yeah, a real gangsta-ass G. But we were stepping away from that. And you, before we went into our little break, were going to give us a review of the crash-tested wrestling that you took in this past Saturday in Midlothian, Illinois.
Oh, yeah. I was, wasn't I?
Yes, yes, you were, sir.
Let me give this a fair review. Okay?
For sure, for sure, for sure, for sure.
So, I've been to Crash Tested Show once. And it wasn't much, I ain't gonna lie. There was one guy who came out and did headlocks the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, and that's the truth.
No, that is the truth.
I wasn't expecting much, you know, and you know, their setup wasn't much, and there wasn't really nothing to it, and, you know, so I went in there with that state of mind. And when I got in there, they had a rather large truss setting, which obviously isn't theirs, but still, it was up there, and they were using it. It was very large, it was very awesome, and it was really cool. So, I mean, it wasn't like the most fanciest shit in the fucking world, but it was cool. Definitely something that they didn't do before, you know? Lit up the ring very well. They were a little blinding, but
it hasn't been done in Midlothian either, has it?
What's that?
Something that hasn't been done in Midlothian either to that scale that I'm aware of.
I've never seen nothing like that in Midlothian. It looked really cool. I would give them that for sure. Their entrance blew their entrance from the last time I had seen them out the water. You know, they had the laser lights going. They had all that shit, you know. Very, very, very well done.
Yeah, I didn't.
If I must say so myself. They had the big screen with the videos. And then out comes Steve Kenton with the plague. And I, you know, I've got nothing against Steve Kenton whatsoever. But it seems as if they're using him as a evil announcer turned into a manager / valet.
Valet.
And he's, you know, managing the plague. And, oh, God, it was just so annoying and horrible. And it went on for like 20 minutes at the beginning of the show. And you had Steve Kenton out there just barking silly shit like, oh, well, all of you are going to sit down and lick it because I'm the general manager and I'm going to see what goes. And, you know, and I'm sure he's listening to this right now because I know Steve Kenton listens. And I'm going to, you know, I like your announcing, but that was fucking horrible. Sorry. Did not like it. Did not like it. I dig his announcing.
So, you know, what, there's been he had many, a problem at the beginning of the night?
Oh, it was like, yeah, and it was like 20 minutes long, man. I mean, had he come out there and just been, you know, been straight to the point, you know, 1-2 minutes, I'd have fucking been like, okay, watch out, Kenton, do your thing. But it was like 20 fucking minutes. It killed me, man. It killed everybody else, too. Everybody else is just like, they hated it. But, you know, I'm sure Kenton and them thought it was the fucking most epic shit ever. And, you know, they went backstage, you know, did their thing, and then out comes the first match with this dude named Grimm, and if I'm not mistaken, that was the dude that was the Max Holiday, doppelganger.
According to you guys,
yeah. When I went to PCW, that was definitely the doppelganger of Max Holiday. But now he switched it up. Now he's the doppelganger of Rian Skills.
Why is that?
Because he basically had Rian Skills fucking gear on.
Oh, no shit.
It was literally a Rian Skills singlet, except it said Grimm on there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, I was like, what the... I was like, what the hell? And he got in the ring, and, you know, he's marching around, and, you know, he's trying to show it off. And when the music shut off and it got a little quiet in there, I was like, hey, Grimm, Rian wants his gear back. And then everybody started laughing.
Ooh.
And then he turns around. He's like, we go to the same guy, okay? We're the same guy. And then... what do you know? You know who he's going to fight? Rian.
Is he really? Did he really? Oh, wow. Yeah. Funny.
They look like fucking tag partners, man.
Oh, that's funny. They were wearing the same colors and everything?
No, they were wearing different colors, but it was, you could tell, like, you know, with the airbrush. Yeah, same design, same technique, same, you know... And I gotta say, Rian saved that match, and I'm sure everybody's got a soft spot for this guy Grimm, and everybody's gonna hear this and be like, oh, that guy Grimm needs some work. You better work. You better work. So yeah, so I don't mean, like, sorry. I mean, I didn't mean to stray off of key there, but yeah. So it was Grimm versus Rian. When Rian started taking over, it was beautiful. It was like poetry in motion. And you know, then he would look at the crowd and be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody goes nuts.
Yeah. The only way Rian can do it too. Well, you do a good impersonation of the way you can do it.
Yeah, that's what he did. Come on. So that's what it was that match, and you know, that one. I'm not gonna lie, it was a little hard.
Okay.
But I got through it. And then and then there was a girls match, Donnie Dynamite versus I don't know. I'm not even gonna mention that match. Donnie's awesome.
First, that Pebbles Van something or another. Right? That Pebbles chick or whatever it is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, no, I got you.
And Van Pebbles. Let me just say.
There was a little black girl.
Whoa, what's going on here? There's enough racism going on around the world. We don't need to be hearing shit like that.
What was that?
I was trying to say Van Pebbles needs some work.
So funny.
There was Flash Funk. Flash and this little... You know, it was really funny. I'm not even I think the guy's name was Mike Strong.
Yeah, the little dude.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they come out that song, that Uptown Funk. And, you know, they come out and, you know, usually, I don't know, that damn Uptown Funk, I'm not into it. Either or, they came out to it. You know, they're trying to get everybody into it. You know, people were mediocrely into it, which I was kind of disappointed because I like Flash Funk. You know, and, you know, he came out with this...
Flash Funk.
he came out with this really weird 1990s cross-color Shumbuku-looking Fresh Prince of Bel-Air shirt.
Flash did?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could see it on his page.
Alright, I saw he was wearing his Zeus singlet.
Well, he did. He wore his Zeus singlet, but when he first came out, he had this, like, crazy-looking cross-colored... Cross... Yeah, and he came out to that crap.
I like this crap.
No. Not when everybody comes out to it.
Well, I don't think B should be coming out to it, by no means. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think B should be coming out to that at all.
So Flash Funk came out to this with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air shirt. And, you know, I waited for it to get quiet again. And I said, hey, Flash. Fresh Prince called. He wants his shirt back. And I got another little roar from the crowd. It was good times.
Awesome.
Yeah, and they fought...
They fought Mitch Blake and
Screwball. Yeah, Screwball and Mitch Blake. That was a good match.
Well, yeah.
I really like that. I really like that huge bat they came out with.
Oh, dude, that thing was massive.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. That was a huge. That was a big bat.
I really enjoyed the match. I really enjoyed how Screwball threw his punches. Did you get to see that?
No, I wasn't there yet.
He would wind up and then, like, lay it into them. You know, like he's throwing a pitch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was good times.
That's awesome.
That he would really wind awesome. Up and then just lay it in there. It was good times, I'm telling you. I loved it. Screwball, awesome. And, so Screwball, yeah, I don't remember who won, but it was a good match. Either or. And then there was the Max Holiday. Well, here's the thing is, I was a little disappointed with this because I was expecting to see Max Holiday versus BOW one-on-one. Okay?
Okay.
All of a sudden, Willie comes out. Willie comes out, and he's going to be fighting. Who was it?
Machine.
Machine, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Then all of a sudden, BOW comes out with his... then Machine proceeds to give him literally right back in his face. And all of a sudden, you come out, and then Steve Kenson comes back out, and now, hey, we're going to make this a tag team match, whether you like it or not, deal with it. And he walks away with an attitude like, how is that a bad thing? What do you mean deal with it? Whatever. So anyway, yeah, so Max turns into a tag team match, and this is probably one of the three good matches that I had seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was epic. I think I seen you do the Sioux two times. Was it two?
I went for it twice. I hit it once.
Yeah, and you get to scream it though. You get to scream it twice though.
Sioux. I think it is twice.
Sioux. Yeah, that was good times. I also got to see Jimmy Blaze. The psychotic Jimmy Blaze. In action versus your best friend, Jared Priest.
My boy.
And, I don't know if I should elaborate on this or not. I thought it was a good match.
Was it?
Yeah.
From what I saw, it was a lot of screaming. They did a lot of shit talking to the fans, hyping the fans up, from what I saw. But then again, I saw.
Yeah. I mean, there was a men's, so I'm not going to say nothing. But if there wasn't, I might say something about... No, stop.
So it was an okay match?
It was.
Good.
I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed the tag team match with you and hearing Sue screamed out twice.
Hit once. I hit Machine with it once. Come on now.
True. So I got to see that. And then I left for the main event.
Oh, you didn't want to see the main event?
Okay. Now, and I'm not a TNA fan, so I had no fucking clue who the fuck James Storm is. No shit. The line for him for his autograph was so fucking small. It was like, Owen Travers has a longer one at the ARW shows.
Oh, really?
Hell yeah.
That's rough. Beer Money! He's a part of the Beer Money tag team.
Oh, is that what it is? That way he came out drinking a beer? I don't give a shit for it. Like, it didn't impress me. And, you know, I think in my opinion, and this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems as if from the whole breakup of our shutdown of PCW, it was like the upper powers that were underneath the main man.
Middle management
basically cut off into sections like a pizza.
Uh-huh.
And went all types of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the middle management that from PCW, Jared Priest, went over to crash tested, and he took all his rookies that were still over at PCW over to crash tested, and it gave crash tested new life, new meaning.
Yes.
You know, and now basically, you know, they were doing shows out in Indiana and basically stinking the place up. So now they brought their shit over to Midlothian. They're trying to do a PCW reboot, if you will, except with crash testing.
Uh-huh.
So, in my opinion, I mean, if you think about it, you know, like, like the another section that got cookied off would be like P.L. Myers over to Resistance.
Right.
You know, helping them out, you know, getting little things and, you know, shit like that, you know. That's how stuff goes, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just like I'm just saying. So it's like it's a fancy thing. I see what's going on here. It's a conspiracy.
This is Sparta.
Is Akeem offended?
I figured if we do anything, we have to at least do Hogan comments deeply hurtful, says Akeem. The offensive comments allegedly made by legendary pro wrestler Hulk Hogan are deeply hurtful to me and my community, commented Hogan's former colleague, Akeem. Akeem, who hails from deepest, darkest Africa, wiggled and shimmied his enormous girth to the rhythm of tribal drumming while criticizing Hogan. Man, that white boy be crazy, said the African Dream. Akeem's friend Slick, a noted Jive Soul brother, echoed Akeem's sentiments, insisting that Hogan should be punished for reinforcing outdated racial stereotypes. WWE Hall of Famer Roddy Piper expressed that he had mixed feelings about the controversy by painting half of his body black. In other kayfabe news, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. America is returning to WWE.
Dun, dun, dun.
After a 12-year absence, a patriotic...
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. America. After a 12-year absence, patriotic muscle man Mr. America has made a surprise return to World Wrestling Entertainment, vowing to fight for the rights of every man. Wearing his signature Stars and Stripes mask, wispy blonde hair draping his neck, and a handlebar mustache flanking his chin, the leather-skinned wrestler burst onto the scene at the WWE event last night in Topeka. Mr. America's return seems too conspicuously coincide with the abrupt, unexplained departure from WWE of Hulk Hogan, who shares a similar physique, mannerisms, and speech patterns. Mr. America denies, however, any allegations that he is connected to Hogan. Well, let me tell you something, brother. Mr. America is going to run wild over the WWE, totally unrelated to anyone named Hogan. Mr. America is scheduled to appear as a guest judge this week on Tough Enough. And that's your special Hogan kayfabe news for this week. That's kind of what he was hoping for Brooke, was that she would get something nice and deep inside of her that would be well over 8 feet tall and worth a couple million dollars. It's almost kind of like prostituting out his daughter, when you think about it.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, well, Hogan. You know what, though? I have to agree. I got to look it up. I have to agree with Billy Wack's comment that he posted to the internet tonight in regards to all of this. I'll share it with you here. It says, yikes, that Bill Cosby cover on the New York Magazine is just... I mean, wow. Take that, Cosby. If you haven't seen it, look. And again, take that, Hulk Hogan. Looks like it's curtains for you, too. Wow, all these icons are toppling down. I got to tell you, if some awful thing comes out about Michael J. Fox, that's it. I'm done. Done with Earth. Stay cool, MJF. Can we not agree on that? Can we not agree on that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Michael J. Fox. Could you imagine some shit coming out about him?
Oh, man. Not Michael J.
Not MJF.
Not Marty. Man. Marty McFly.
That would be horrible.
It would.
All of a sudden on TMZ, video comes out. Back from when he was filming Back to the Future. He's sitting there on a hoverboard. Man, F these over here. That'd be crazy. Or Doc Brown. I could see it.
Good old Doc.
On a racist tirade as he falls. That's how the flux capacitor was really discovered.
Damn right. He didn't hit his head on the toilet.
What really happened? Man, you ever have one of those, like, sinus colds you just want to rip your face off?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm going... I have one of those right now. It's fucked up. Check this out. I have an ear infection.
Oh boy!
Last Monday, I couldn't hear shit in my ear. It was bad. So Wednesday, Wednesday, I finally go to the Minute Clinic, and they prescribed me some amoxicillin. I've been on amoxicillin since Wednesday. I take my last two pills tomorrow, and today, my fucking ear, all of a sudden, it's like I can barely hear out of it again. It was clearing up beautiful Friday, Saturday. I was like, oh, back on the way to fucking hearing like a normal human being. And now here I am Monday, and I can barely hear out of it again.
That's not good.
No, it's not good at all.
I heard a good drop kick to the ear helped that.
Yeah, probably not.
That's what I heard.
I'm not willing to take one of those to the ear. Well,
that's what she said.
Hey-o.
Thank you. Oh, it's good times.
Any angry rants tonight?
No, not tonight. I'm not angry. I'm actually really fucking
happy.
High as a kite. High on life.
Whatever works. Whatever floats your,
Hallelujah.
Whatever. Hey, are you still on the Smule app? Or did you switch? You said you switched, right?
Oh, I'm still on Smule. I tried the other one. It's really good too. Except there's no duets.
No, like no duets.
I haven't figured it out yet, at least.
Oh. Okay.
It's completely free. It's good stuff. It's called Whirly.
Whirly Bird?
Whirly.
Did you see they invented a hoverboard?
I've seen that, but it's not. It can't really be real.
Lexus is actually creating a hoverboard of the future. June 24th, 2015, they had a press release. There's actually a video out of... It's actually a teaser video. And I'm not sure when the rest of it's supposed to come out, but it's pretty legit and pretty legit stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Luxury automotive brand Lexus has partnered with world-leading experts in superconductive technology to create one of the most advanced hoverboards ever developed. At Lexus, we consistently challenge ourselves and our partners to push the boundaries of what is possible, said Mark Templin, Executive Vice President, Lexus International. That determination, combined with our passion and expertise for design and innovation, is what led us to take on the hoverboard project. It's a perfect example of the amazing things that can be achieved when you combine technology, design, and imagination. The Lexus hoverboard operates using magnetic levitation to achieve amazing frictionless movement. Liquid nitrogen-cooled superconductors and permanent magnets combine to allow Lexus to create the impossible. Wrapped in a design that is uniquely Lexus, the hoverboard features the iconic Lexus spindle grille signature shape that uses materials found in the luxury car brand, from the high-tech to natural bamboo. The Lexus hoverboard is part of the fourth project in Lexus' Amazing in Motion campaign that showcases the creativity and innovation of the Lexus brand. Testing of the Lexus hoverboard will be taking place in Barcelona, Spain, over the coming weeks. And that was June 24th of this year. You can look it up on YouTube under Take a Ride on the Lexus Hoverboard. It's literally like a little snippet. Gives you a little sneak peek. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Would you spend the money to buy a Lexus hoverboard?
I don't know. I mean, it'd be cool to have, but I think I'd be falling off the whole time and I would never get it. So I don't think I'd spend the money on it. Not yet, at least.
Well, what are those new skateboard things that we keep seeing and you keep talking about?
Oh, those things, I don't know, man. Those are like crazy. Like, I don't even know how they work. They're almost like Segways with just like skateboard Segways. Really crazy.
Skateboard Segway, yes. That'd probably be the best way to put that. A skateboard Segway.
I want one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would try it for sure. I would definitely try that.
I'd be all over the place with that motherfucker. Good times, good times, good times. Yeah. So, yeah, crash tested. On your end, how did it go on, you know, from, like, your perspective, your match? Did you, did you come up with the victory?
No, I didn't. We lost. It was actually pretty interesting because I was coming back from my reunion. And I literally, we left Hannibal at about 4. Yeah, 4, and we pulled up to the venue at about 8 o'clock, a little after 8 o'clock. Whatever intermission started, that's when we pulled up. Or right before intermission started, at the end of the screwball match. So I got there. And I was informed that it was being made into a tag team match, which I was totally cool with because I'll be 100% honest with you. I was not looking forward to having that match that night because I was so exhausted. And I clearly was starting to come down with something and I didn't know it. So going into it, I was kind of like, I don't want to do this. I totally didn't know it was their anniversary show, or at least it had slipped my mind, at the very least. So I didn't know what to expect. I just walked in, I saw them all back there, so anyways, they're on the back, you know how it's all open between the entranceway and where you come in and the locker room?
Yeah.
So I go into the locker room and I got to change because they're like, you know, it's intermission, there's a match, and then you guys are up. I'm like, oh, shit, go figure. So I get changed. And, you know, it was pretty easy peasy as far as putting the match together.
Lemon squeezy?
Oh, for sheezy.
Roadhouse.
So, yeah, no, the match was cool. The only part that really... that I fucked up, and you can actually see it. I've shared there was a fan there that recorded almost every match that night. And I shared it on my Facebook, so you can go see it. There was one part of the match where Bao ducks a double clothesline. And Willie gave him a shoulder tackle. Originally, I was under the impression that we were going to give him double drop kicks. And about halfway through going up for the drop kick, I realized it was shoulder tackle. So I just gave him a thrusting kick and then fell to my ass. It looks like it hurt. That's for sure.
Yep, that's for sure.
I just sat there because I thought it was kind of funny. And Willie didn't even realize. I don't think Willie even realized what happened, but I mean, whatever.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what he said to me. I got up and walked to my corner. But no, the match itself was cool. So I walk in through the back door for the entranceway, and I'm like, whoa, holy shit, what the fuck happened here? I'm like, wow. Like, whoa. I was like, wow, okay. All right, so I was trying to get a grasp for what was happening from behind the screen because I had just shown up. So realistically, when I came running through that curtain, that was my first time getting out there and actually looking at everything and, you know, seeing the crowd for the first time. So I was impressed with the draw. And then, of course, you know, just the setup itself was nice. So in the match itself, everybody enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I believe the fans enjoyed it. So,
yeah, I mean, the crowd seemed really into it, me being picky and me picking apart stuff. That's all that was. But, you know, for the most part and all in for how it was, you know, they drew a nice amount of people.
They drew
not sure
what?
How many. They drew a nice amount of people.
Oh, Drew. I thought you said Jew.
Jew guy. No, they drew a nice amount of people.
Okay. Yeah, no, they did. I don't know what their number was, but they did have a nice draw.
They did a good job.
Now, I could tell you that when I went and collected my payday and talked to the big man that runs the place, I congratulated him on, the successful event, what I assume was a successful event for them. And I asked him, I said, I said, it's a beautiful setup you have going now. I said, was this just for tonight because this was the anniversary show? Or, and it'll be, back to normal after this? Or, what's the deal? And according to him, that, it's going to be that or bigger from now on. So I'm curious because I wasn't expecting that. I'll tell you that much. And when I saw the video, I was like, wow, that's what it looked like from the fan perspective. I'm like, that's pretty fucking sweet. So it was very appealing to the eye. As far as wrestling matches, I know who was on the card. So I can only have an idea of what you saw. But, from your review, it sounds like it was a pretty decent night as far as wrestling action was concerned. The only problem I have now is their next show is the night of Anarchy Rising.
Oh. I seen that.
I mentioned it to Jed. And he's like, I don't like that. He's like, I'm going to mention that to dude and see if we can get that changed because I don't want to do that. And when he hit me up today, he was like, yeah, he said he couldn't do it because it was already done and set in stone. So I can tell you that effort was put into that. So
at least that's okay. I mean, none of my crowd was really over there or anything like that. It was kind of old. Bunch of old PCW fans and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, hey, whatever.
But I mean, I'm sure they'll draw, we'll draw. They'll have a good night, we'll have a good night. So no worries.
Yeah.
It'll be good times. Except for Anarchy Rising 5, I'm going to have something a little tricky up my sleeve. And it ain't gonna be no James Storm beer money or whatever the fuck. Fuck all that shit.
Max Holiday, that's all you need, I'm telling you.
Max Holiday?
Max Holiday. Oh, hey, we got a caller. I didn't even notice that.
Oh. Caller. Put her through.
Put her through? You checked it? You screened it? Okay.
No, I didn't. No.
You're going to at least hit the music?
Do it.
No? Okay. Oh, they hung up.
Oh, they got fearful. They were like, oh my God. They're putting me through.
Call back. We have about 9 minutes remaining in the program. Call back and let's talk.
Putting me on.
Maybe that was Kenton. And he was calling to find out why you're, yelling, being mean to him.
Oh, what's your problem, Superman? I like you.
And I'm going to be like, that opening segment was killer.
Oh, they're back. We'll bring them on.
Hey, guys. It's me.
Hey.
It's your buddy, Robert Hall.
Robert.
Listen, I heard Starksy talking earlier about the whole Mason family drama, and we don't know who they are. I watched the video again today, and may I say, the voice of Mr. Mason sounds very familiar.
Uh-oh.
If I may say so.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Where's the video at?
Yes.
Is that on the website?
Yeah, it's on the YouTube channel.
Oh.
I'm just saying. I heard the man talking. It sounds like somebody I've heard many times before.
Uh-oh.
Somebody who may or may not even be on this radio show.
What?
Max.
What?
Are you Mr. Mason?
Not me. I'm not me. Uh-uh. Not me.
It's definitely not me. It must be Draven.
I could be mistaken, but I swear.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing nowadays. Is everybody thinks that they're a professional something. We got professional detectives. We got professional lawyers. Everyone's a goddamn lawyer. Everyone's a fucking cop. Everyone knows the fucking legal system. Oh, I tell you. Now we got Robert Hall calling in and saying he knows what's up. He knows the jig is up, guys. I figured it out. You sleuth.
I think I do.
You sleuth.
I could be mistaken, but I but I think I know who it is.
I bet you are mistaken. You want to know why? Because you don't have a degree in psychology and in science and stuff. I don't know what that means.
That's true. And Mr. Mason is Mr. Mason.
I wouldn't know. I've never met him.
But he has.
So until further notice, I'm going to stick with my assumption.
Surprise, Mr. motherfucker.
Mason. Exactly. And Mr. Mason, whoever you are, I'm on to you.
This hey. Friday, you also can try and figure out who Mr. Mason is at the House of Anarchy, 9831 South 78th Avenue in Hickory Hills, Illinois. Doors open at 7 p.m.
Yeah, I might have said to check that out.
You better. I don't know. I'll
be
there. Wrestle. I don't know if I'm going to wrestle. I don't know if I'll be in any shape to wrestle, but I'll be there.
You best be believing. Robert won't be deceiving, and he'll be there.
Robert's going to be there. Robert, have you not been to any of the Friday night fights yet?
Not this month.
Oh, don't know what you've missed, man. They've everything. They've thrown the rules out. There are no more rules on Friday nights.
I know. I've heard.
It's craziness, man. You're missing out on some crazy stuff.
Fine.
What in the world?
Of course, stupid. What do I look like? Just show me my new acquisition.
Now, tell me that voice didn't sound familiar.
Oh, it doesn't. Sounds like a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took
sounds
the midnight
like,
train.
Yeah, going anywhere.
Oh, right. I knew I know that voice from somewhere. It's Supreme Aryan, isn't it? That voice, the voice on that tape sounds almost exactly like the that Aryan bumper you guys have.
Ah, yes, it is the Lunatic Wrestling Federation's very own Supreme Aryan, and you're listening to The Hop On.
Southern men.
You might be onto something there, Robert Hall. I never noticed that before.
On the thing?
I never noticed that before.
Oh, Robert Hall. You might be onto something there.
Oh, yeah.
See, there he is.
Oh, yes. You're listening. Yeah, I can see that.
I can see it, too.
I know who you really
Supreme,
are.
Supreme
Area
is Mr. Mason.
I didn't
no,
know
he's not. No, he's not.
Oh my God! It killed Kenny! You bastard!
Well, Robert, we got 3 minutes, and you need to let us know what are your thoughts on the whole Hulk Hogan thing.
To be honest, I'm a little surprised that something he said almost a decade ago is coming back to bite him in the ass, and it's costing him everything.
Well,
his jab, his tough enough spot. I saw rumors on Friday that he may be getting scrubbed from the Hall of Fame.
Well, that'd be a little much, I think.
I know, but I'm just saying, he makes one mistake, and he more or less gets the Benoit treatment.
Which is absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
I mean, it's one thing to have already 7 or 8 years, take a small portion out and say, okay, Chris Benoit was never here. You can't erase 30 years of history. You can't erase people's memory.
That's
unless you're the Men in Black.
Uh-oh. That's a... You don't think that, you know, they're going to come do that thing to us, do you? All of us wrestling fans?
I've seen the meme of them doing it. They did it a couple of times.
Son of a bitch.
They did it last week when The Undertaker came back. Oh, The Undertaker came back, then everybody else just disappeared. There was nobody else there.
Good afternoon. Please give your attention to my associate, Agent J. He's going to demonstrate an electro-biomechanical neural transmitting zero-synapse repositioner. We call it the Neuralizer. Keep it simple, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Agent K. Ladies and gentlemen, Will, look right here. Okay, you know how you're on an airplane, and the flight attendant asks you to turn your cell phone off? And you're like, I ain't turning my cell phone off. That don't have nothing to do with no damn airplane. Well, that's what we get. That's what happens. It gets up there, bounces around on the satellites, and bam. Just turn your damn cell phone off. Now you're going to drive off a cliff tonight because your GPS don't work.
This show is awful, terrible, disgusting.
Good afternoon. Please give your attention.
I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't watched it. Believe what? I don't know. I wasn't watching.
Oh!
I didn't like it. What do you have a cut on things? I can't believe those rats were responsible for this show.
Why not? They were also responsible for the bubonic plague.
Hey, you old fool. You slept through the show. Who's a fool? You watched it. Boy, back there.
What kind of show would you call that?
Frankly, I'd call it quits.
Quits! Quits!
Oh!
That's a solid scandal.
Tonight.
So long. Oh, no!
Something wonderful happens. What?
It is.